Can you turn my headphones down, like, by 100 or so?
You pull it together.
Whoa. Hey, dial it back, buddy. That's aggressive.
I got a burp so bad.
Just let it happen. In the mic. Weak sauce. Weak sauce.
So 3 o'clock is just a great time to get up in the morning. Have coffee with Jesus.
That's essentially what we had planned on doing today. Oh, so wow. The first few recordings that we had done, they kind of got scrapped. They just didn't work. They right. worked for a few sound bites.
Right.
And that was about it. But our intention today, he was going to bring some questions that he doesn't have because he's not here.
Right.
And we were going to ask you, Jeremy, to tell us your life story.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, what does it look like for you before Jesus and after Jesus, and what did it mean for you to come to Jesus?
Wow. Life BC, before Christ. I don't know how far we want to go back.
When do you have to be at work?
Got to be out here in 50 minutes.
Okay, so like your wheel's up at 7 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay, but you have until 7 o'clock.
I do.
I'd say start probably from the age of 7.
7, I can't remember. No, I remember 7. I barely remember high school. I just think that I loved my sin. I loved the party life. I loved all of it. And so, I guess it really started for me when I was in junior high, the whole, you know, rock and roll scene and stuff. And it, just like music does, it grabbed a hold of me. And it caused me to be, my sin caused me to be rebellious, obviously, but I felt like music just dominated my life. And whatever those guys were singing, it was like, that was the lifestyle I wanted. And so, life became a party, you know? And everything that I could do...
Golf clap. We got microphones here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Yeah. There's a cup right behind you.
Well, now we got to wait because you're supposed to have questions for me.
And you don't have questions, right?
Not written down, but I have some.
You have them in your head?
Okay.
Wow. Life is a party. I came to Jesus. Life over.
I woke up 40 seconds ago. So. In just a moment, yeah. I forgot to set my alarm. Obviously.
Yeah, we can tell.
My daughter is not sleeping well, so... Anyways, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You can disregard that salty voice message that I just left you.
Yeah, it was salty.
I haven't even...
It was a Matthew 5 message.
Oh, wow.
Let's go ahead and just put those on first.
That would have woke me up.
Can you turn my headphones down, like, by 100 or so?
By 100?
That was...
The editing on this one is going to be amazing.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
By the time it all comes together, it's just going to be a comedy show.
So Jeremy had started at age 7. And
I can't remember. I'm better with Q&A. What do you got?
Try 8.
I still can't remember.
Oh, dang it.
I can barely remember junior high. There was a lot of... pot usage, so, and people are like, "Oh, the Holy Spirit can restore that." I'm like, "I don't know."
Hasn't it can?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, I just had a few questions in my mind of introducing yourself, so it sounds like you already kind of started that, but it was going to be along the lines of at what point in your time, because I think we all, this applies to all three of us. At what point in time did you go from knowing about Jesus to experiencing him and surrendering your life?
Yeah, that's a great question because I grew up in church, you know. Like, we went to church. And, you know, like I teach now, like, you don't go to church. We are the church, which is a new concept for the church, I feel like. I feel like that's a whole new concept. Like, no, we go to church. Like, no. You are the church, and I think that's a new concept. So I grew up in church.
Common misconception.
Yeah, so, from the day I was born, basically, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, youth group. That's how I grew up. And I fully believe that I'd have died and gone to hell because I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him, you know, and there's a big difference in that. And so for me, it was a, it really was like a supernatural encounter that changed my life. And so, when me and Lindsay met, the reason we, the reason we connected was because of the party life. She partied and I partied and we could party at the same level. And, we were into the same things when it came to partying. And so that, like, that's really what drew us together. We didn't have like this, oh, this is the Lord brought us together. I mean, I'm going to say he did, but, and so we had this thing, this lifestyle, you know, and she had a son and I had my two girls when we met. And then later on we had, you know, the other two boys. And, so Garrett gets sick. And once again, I've grown up in church. Lindsay has not grown up in church. And Garrett gets this spot on his leg, and it's black. And he's like 2 or 3 years old. And long story short, Lindsay takes him to the pediatrician. She's like, you need to get him to Valley Children's basically yesterday. So we meet at Valley Children's Hospital, and within a short amount of time, a red line has formed coming off this black spot on his leg. And as the day progresses, the reports are not good. It's basically like, if we can't stop this red line, we're going to have to take his leg because he's going to die. Whatever this is on his leg is poisoning him. And they can't figure out what it is. And they are just injecting him with everything under the sun, and they cannot stop it. And so finally they get the red line to stop, but he is super sick. And we end up spending time there at Valley Children's Hospital. And he, you know, project vomiting, 108 temperature. I mean, they're coming in with literally 5 gallon buckets of ice and dumping it on this kid. And they're like, we don't know if he's going to make it. And so at the time, her sister and brother-in-law had just moved back to the area and to start a church. And she had told me, well, he's going to come up and pray for him. And I was like, man, I can pray for him. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're here at Valley Children's Hospital. This is a, they're going to find this and they're going to fix him, you know?
Wow.
And so they come up and I'm just like, this is stupid. Just to be honest, you know, this is so dumb. I'm going to come lay hands on my kid. So they come in and, you know, we all get around Garrett and we lay hands on him and pray for him. And I'm completely faithless. I'm like, this does nothing. Cause that's not the religion I wasn't raised in that, you know? So they're constantly running tests on this kid and they come back and they keep coming back and more doctors are coming back in, and like there's larger groups of doctors coming in, and finally Lindsay's like, what is going on? And they're like, we can't find anything wrong with your son.
Whoa.
And it was just like, I was like, what do you mean you didn't find, like, no. And they're like, literally, like, I mean, they finally found out what it was, you know, what was attacking his body, but they're like, literally it's gone. Like, we don't know. We're going to keep him for another 24 hours just to make sure we're like, we haven't lost our minds, but he's probably going to be able to go home tomorrow. So he went from like, there's a good chance he may not leave this hospital, to he was miraculously healed and we left the next day. Wow. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know that Jesus. That's a Jesus I don't know. And so, so it was from there that we ended up as a couple, going, you know, to a building where the church meets. And the people were crazy. Like, they were clapping their hands and putting their hands in the air, and they were excited. And I remember at one point, you know, I've shared this testimony many times. At one point, I leaned over to my wife, and I was like, we have to leave. These people are crazy. Like, they're crazy. You know, I grew up with red hymnal books. And, I mean, if you said hallelujah, like, everybody looked at you like you were weird. And, but it was that moment, you know, where I was like, there's something about the Lord that I've never experienced. Mm. And I wanted to find out what that was. And so after a few times of showing up, I remember just being in this place where I was just bawling like a baby. I was just standing there, you know, just bawling like a baby. And I remember going out into the foyer of this building, and I just told the pastor, I have no idea what's going on, but I'll be back. And that really started my journey on, you know, finding out who Jesus really was, and that he wasn't just this guy that we read about in a book. You know, he wasn't a part of history. Like, he's a part of our present, and he's alive, and he's well, and he's moving. And it was at that point that, you know, I began to read the word for my own self instead of just being taught, like, hey, this is what you're going to believe. And it was a time in my life where I really opened up the word for myself. And I was like, there was a lot of inconsistencies in what I'd been taught. And I was like, stuff wasn't lining up. And just taking those things to the Holy Spirit and just building that relationship, you know. But it really was that time where the Lord miraculously healed my kid. And I was like, oh, he's real. And so, yeah, awesome. That was it for me.
That's super cool. Well, yeah. I've heard that story, and it just is so cool to hear.
I've never heard that story.
Gary.
Crazy Gary.
Do you guys actually call him Gary?
We call him Gary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The other question I had was, when did he call you to ministry, and what did that look like?
It looked like me running. Yeah, that's when I started working out. Because I was running from the Lord.
Don't run from the Lord.
Don't run from the Lord. Yeah, so I was very quickly, I guess, in giving my life to Christ for reals, I got into ministry. I wanted to do whatever I could to serve the Lord, you know. And so me and Lindsay would show up, and we'd be just like, man, we want to clean the building. And so we did that. And then, you know, I don't know what everybody else's ministry life looks like, but started out with that. And then it was like ushering, and then it was sound. And then it was like, the leaders of the church noticed that I'm pretty much like I'm an old kid, you know?
Very much.
And so they're like, man, you'd be great in children's ministry. And so I got into children's ministry, and it just took off. And I thought that's where I would always be. I thought I would be a children's pastor till the day I died. And then as things, you know, progress in ministry, I began to do other things. And then it was like, as new people would come into the church, they would ask me how long I'd been a pastor. And I'm like, bro, I ain't a pastor. Like, I just teach the kids. They're like, oh, interesting. And so I felt like the Lord was calling me to ministry. And I was like, there's no way I'm doing that. I mean, I'm still like that now. But I still have these same conversations with the Lord. And I just felt like this call to minister to people. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. That requirement is not what I'm willing to lay down. And so after I felt like I began to hear that calling, or that drawing, however you want to put it out there, I was sitting in that church one day, and it was a Sunday morning, and the pastor, he's just preaching, you know, and I don't even remember what he preached, to be honest, which is most of the time with me, because I'm brain dead. And he's like preaching the word, and he just stops, and he says, there's someone in this room that God has called you to ministry. He's called you to pastor people, and you are running from him, and you need to stop running. And I knew I was the only one sitting in that room. I knew it. And so afterwards, I walked out and I said, hey, you were talking to me. I said, that's me. And I said, what's this journey look like? You know? And so then that took me on that journey. And through that, you know, it's like I think I've done just about every ministry there is except women's ministry. I've done.
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
You
could
do that these days.
You don't
need
to transition. Trans. No. No transing me for that one. Thank you. I've been a youth pastor for a long time. Was really, you know, I found my groove in youth ministry. Loved doing youth ministry and college ministry. I did that. I was a men's pastor. I was the missions guy. All of these different things. And then, you know, when it came time to like pastor a church, I felt like he still had to like, you know, almost like, come on, you know, this is where I've called you. And, And I still battle with that. You know, that's still something because it's like I know myself. And it's like, how could you call me to do this? You know, how could you call me to lead your people when you know who I am? And he's still like, over all of these years, he's still like, yeah, you're still here doing it. That so, you know, why do you fight it? Like, you're still here doing this. But yeah, I mean, it's, and being like a lead pastor is, it's, I don't know. I've found it easier as it's gone on and not harder due to the fact.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
That's
encouraging. Well, because I think the process of growing in the Lord is learning that you are not the guy. He is, you know? And so it's a surrendering and a humility to the Lord that it's not on me to carry this. It's not on me to do this, you know? And just like we've talked about, even preparing for a Sunday morning, like, that's not even on me. It's like, you're going to give me a word, or we're going to pray and worship. You know, and I remember for so long, like, I would just stress out about Sunday morning because that's the big show. You know what I mean? That's when you got to be there. It's like, you know, and which I totally don't believe that. But I used to stress out over it just intensely. And, you know, now I just get up. But I used to lose sleep over it. And now it's just like, Lord, man, like, I completely lean into you. Like, what word do you have for these people today? Not for the vast, you know, it's like, not for the world, but for these people that are going to show up on a Sunday morning. Like, what word do you have for them? And even on Wednesdays, it's the same thing. You know, it's like when we do Bible study, it's like, man, Lord, what do you want to say to them? You know, it's like, I can put together sermons and teachings and all of those things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, man, I just want to hear from the Lord and deliver that. And it takes all of the stress out of it, you know? And so... yeah,
that's awesome. Well, the last one I had in mind was, when and how did he bring you to Springville?
Oh, so good. You know what? I know that people say that wine is like, I don't know, like Jesus juice. Mm. Like, no, it's coffee.
It's coffee.
It's definitely coffee.
It's coffee.
Yeah.
It's like Cafe Bustelo, to be specific.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw this meme one time that, like, said when I was a kid, like a young kid, like 5, 6 years old, I thought that like coffee was the most adult drink ever.
Oh, yeah.
And then like as an adolescent, you're like, oh, it's booze.
Yeah.
It's not coffee. It was booze.
Right.
Like, oh, although all the cool adults are that it's booze.
Yeah.
And now as an actual adult.
Yeah, it's coffee.
It's water.
Oh,
I've needed water my whole life. Coffee. I need it now. I need it yesterday. Yeah. I need it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hopefully I need it tomorrow.
I think it's awesome you consider yourself an adult. I try to avoid that.
There's a lot of water in my coffee, just to be clear. So.
It's mostly water.
Hydrated? I'm just talking about.
I'm hydrated on coffee. Sorry, I forgot your question.
When and how did he bring you to Springville?
That was a horrible episode.
Maybe why?
Why? I think we're walking that out. So we were missionaries in Mexico. We were there for 5 years. And I'm learning that everywhere I go, I think I'll die there. You know, I think I'll die in, you know, children's ministry. And we were on the north side of Isalia. I thought I'd never leave there. And the Lord took us to Mexico. And yeah, I thought that was it for us. I'm like, this is something, Mexico was something that we knew we were going to do for like 10 years. We had known from like the first or second missions trip that we took that we were going to Mexico full time. And so it was something that we had looked forward to and prepared for and really believed that that is where we would live out our days. And so we're about 4 or 5 years into that. And of course, as missionaries, you have churches and people that sponsor you, so that you can do, you know, what you're doing down there. And one of those people that sponsored us was Sequoia Worship Center, and it was Greg and Connie and their congregation. And so we would come up and we would speak at the churches and just kind of let them know where we were and what was going on and just to fill people in. And so it was just crazy how the whole thing happened, really. If I go back to the whole dialogue that me and Lindsay even had leading up to this trip.
But you say if, like, can you just go ahead and do that?
Do what?
Go back to that dialogue?
I'm going to do it, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to try. All right. I'm going to try. But, like, just to get the whole picture, like, I'm going to bed. Like, I'm done. And Lindsay's like, hey, we're supposed to be going to Springville here this week. And I need to call Connie. And I told her, I said, don't call her. Because if you call them, they're going to want me to preach on Sunday. And I don't want to preach on Sunday. Like, I don't want to do that. And I didn't even want to come up here, really. But I definitely didn't want to, you know, preach. And so she goes and she calls Connie and they talk for a little bit. And she comes back in and she's like, hey, so yeah, we're going to go up there and we're going to stay with them this weekend. And I'm like, oh, great. And I'm preaching, aren't I? And she's like, yeah, they asked if you would. And I'm like, great. You know? And so yeah, I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so we come up here and we get to Greg and Connie's house and their house is for sale. And I thought, well, that's weird. I didn't know anything about them selling their home. And so we get there and we're having like small talk and I'm just like, man, why are you selling your home? And so, you know, he gave us a story of how he felt the Lord was leading him. And he said, and it sold today. He goes, I didn't even have it on the market for 24 hours. And I'm like, wow, man, that's intense, you know? And he goes, yeah, we got a full cash offer. They're buying everything in the house because their plan was to move into like a fifth wheel trailer. So they couldn't really take anything that they had. And I was like, man, what are you going to do with the church? And he says, well, I feel like the Lord's telling me you're going to take it over. And as fast as he said that, I said, no, I am not. And he continued to talk and try to tell me what the Lord was saying. And I kept telling him, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to pastor a church. I told the Lord I was never pastoring again. That was a private conversation that I'd had with God. Don't ever tell God never. And I just said, I'm never going to do that, man. And I kept cutting him off. And finally he was like, man, can I just finish, you know? And so we spent the night and the next morning I got up and I preached a word called, which I didn't have anything until like 6 o'clock Sunday morning. And I sat down for like 45 minutes and jotted down some stuff. And it was command me. And it was about Peter being on the edge of the boat and saying, Lord, if that's you, command me to come. And that's what the word for that day was. Not even realizing that he was speaking to me. Just thinking that was the word for the people. And so we went back to Visalia where our family lives and we're going to hang out with them for a few days. Well, I woke up Monday and I was super convicted. The Holy Spirit had finally broken down my wall. And so I called him and I apologized, you know, and did all those things. I said, well, we'll come back up tomorrow and we'll talk. And so we came back up and we talked and there was just a lot of factors that came into it. I mean, obviously it was the Lord, but it was like he revealed himself in the small things too. And like at the time in Springville, there was zero places to live. You know, we're missionaries. We're not buying a house. You know, I mean, we had zero money. And so I told my wife on driving back to Mexico, I said, no, if a house were to pop up, that'd be a pretty good sign, you know. And so Connie calls the next day and she says, I have 3 places you can rent. I was like, oh, okay. You know, and so just these things began to happen. And it was one morning I'd woken up and I was just having a cup of coffee on the front porch and down in Mexico. And I felt like the Lord was like, you know, you need to go look at the story of Jacob wrestling, you know, with God. I'm like, I get it. I know what I'm doing, you know. And so I went and I opened up the word. And when I opened it up, my eyes went directly to this verse. And the verse was, return to your country and I will do well with you and your family. And I knew at that point we were gone.
Man.
Yeah. And I went in and I woke up Lindsay and I just told her, I said, hey, we're leaving. She reaches over and grabs her phone and she goes, I want to show you what I wrote out the day that we drove up to Springville. And when she wrote, we are leaving for Mexico. We are leaving Mexico and moving to Springville. So the Lord had spoken to her. She knew. Everybody's waiting for me because I'm running from the Lord. And so it became like this. So then it just became like this thing of like, we don't have anything. Like we have nothing. because everywhere that we had moved in Mexico, we had just given our stuff away. Like, cause you know, we had a family coming in behind us. They didn't have anything when we're like, well, you can just have all of our stuff. We just need our bed, you know? And so literally we were, this is how crazy it got. We were driving to Rosarito to pay a bill and we were joking because it's like, man, we don't have anything to eat with. Like we don't have utensils. Literally within 5 minutes, someone from Springville sends us a picture of their utensils. And it was like, hey, will you guys need utensils? Dang it. You know? And like the Lord supplied everything that we needed, like beds, refrigerators. I mean, everything was supplied for us, upon getting here. And so, yeah, I mean, that was like, I guess the process of it was, I was just like, I'm not doing that to like, we've been here for 3 years and now I don't ever see myself leaving Springville. So,
And you bought a house here, so.
Now we bought a house. If you
bought a house, I mean, what's God going to do?
He'll have me sell it if I need to. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's what brought me here. And so.
That's pretty amazing, man. I've never heard your story, at least, like, all the way through. I know this guy knows you a little more intimately and has known you for many more years. We never had this talk.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem at all.
You do have... 14 more minutes at least. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, man. When I first met you, right up the driveway right there, when Greg showed up, and he was like, hey, I just want to come introduce this guy to you. And I was just getting off work at the time. I was still working my other job, the one before full-time ministry, and I was hot and tired. And I had known that Greg used to go to this church and didn't anymore.
Yeah. That's all I knew.
So when he was in the driveway, I was like, why is Greg here? Is everything okay?
Something broken.
And then he introduced me to this guy that looked exactly like Greg.
Yeah.
Same beard, same haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you were as impatient. I remember myself being impatient and kind of like rushed about it because I got off work, man. Right. I was like, I just want to go home. I'm very hot.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Yeah. And there's company in my driveway. And, the interaction that I remember is that I think the both of us were like, yeah, we'll meet. Thanks, Greg.
Oh, yeah, we'll get together.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. See you around, buddy. Yeah, I live right over there. So we were neighbors for a while and literally didn't speak again, probably unless you remember something that I don't, probably until the school.
Right. Yeah, that would be, I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one of those community services. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But it was brief, if it was.
It was very much like, oh, yeah, you're that guy from the driveway. Okay, cool.
You're Steve Rogers?
So one of the things that I love about you is that you say the quiet part out loud most of the time. And when that after-school program started and I felt called to be a part of it, even just for that brief time, you know, we're hanging out there in the football field or the soccer field, however you want to call it. And you're like, yeah, man, I think the Lord has us working together in the future. And I'm like, what? Why do you say these things? Did you say less weird stuff? I barely know you, dude.
Say less.
But that's not what I said. I was like, holy crap, I agree. You know? And you said, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that my predecessor has decided to move out of state and that your predecessor has decided to retire in the seasons that they have and that they coincided. And I think that the Lord has us doing ministry together. Yeah. And I was like, yes and amen.
Yeah.
And I'm very impatient. So I was like, next week then? I'm gonna start next week?
Whoa, you know, whoa.
Yeah. And then about 2 years later,
yeah.
About 2 years later, I had come to, I guess, the end of a leg of this journey. Which is another episode in and of itself, with seminary and pastoral requirements and denominational doctrine. Get that quacker ready, buddy. I'm going to be dropping some names. But anyway, my wife and I had come to this point where it was time for us to take up leadership that we'd prayed about. Whether we were or weren't supposed to be in pastoral leadership at this church.
Yeah.
And we were. And we got to that point. And previous to that, we were in youth ministry. And we were just like, we can't do all of the things. We can for a while, but eventually, like, the wheels are going to fall off. Eventually, you'll
die.
Eventually, you'll die. Yes. Eventually, you'll stop following Jesus, and you'll just go live with him. So we're just like, all right, well, we'll start praying, you know. But when earlier, by the way, when you said that Connie said there were three houses, were you talking about Greg and Connie or Miss Connie?
Greg and Connie. Yeah, okay. I didn't know there was a Connie yet.
Well, she's the Connie.
She is the Connie.
She's the Connie. Yeah, second to none.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So the reason I say this is like Connie, because of her role in this community, just,
right.
You know, her tendrils are everywhere. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
For sure.
She just, she's got her finger on the pulse of the community.
Yeah.
So, oh God, let me get this back on track. Goodness. So I'm talking to Connie and we've been praying. Like we need to kind of exit youth ministry in order to transition into pastoral ministry. And we don't know what that looks like. And we don't want to like abandon the kids, you know? And, Connie had said like, hey, did you know that there's a new guy in town? And he's going to the other church over at Sequoia. And his name's Jay. And I think you should just go meet him. And she didn't say anything or push any agenda.
Yeah.
I put that in my back pocket, you know. And I kind of keep counsel with some people in my life that I consider mentors. So I had Brad and Mel and Jim and Nancy. Oh, so these are fine. Fine.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
No, when I start talking trash on a particular denomination and maybe a presbyter or two, that's when you get that quacker ready.
That's when they're quack, quack, quack.
So I was having lunch with this, the council, and Nancy said, hey, there's this kid named Jay. And I really think that there's an opportunity here for like the youth in this community to see a growth period in following Christ. And I really think that you should reach out to him. This is the second person inside a week. And at that point I hadn't been really involved with the after school program for a while. So like, although we're well acquainted and very good friends, like we really hadn't communicated a bunch, you know.
Yeah.
There have been a few times that I would just show up at the school and be like, Jeremy, can I please just talk to you about things that I think are going to kill me if I don't talk to somebody about things?
I got
to
blow this out of me.
So that was basically what our interactions had been for like 6 to 8 months leading up to that point, is that I would just show up on your doorstep at school while you're working a shift, literally like just swinging a jump rope with a bunch of 8-year-olds. And listening to a 37-year-old man cry about the woes of ministry. So, anyway.
You'll get there, Jay.
I already am.
He has arrived.
I am there.
Well, anyway, so the second person inside a week says, you got to go meet this guy, Jay. And I went and met him. I think I dropped a student off at your church. Mm. And he was out there like, shooting hoops or something with one of the kids, and just very briefly, like, shook his hand, gave him a hug, and I'm so-and-so, I think we might be working together in the future. And then I dropped this crazy idea on you, and was like, what do you think it would look like if we shared a youth pastor? This is a small town.
Yeah.
What if we just forgot about denominations and congregations, and what if we just served the Lord?
Is that biblical?
It might be, but that's impossible.
That's never going to work.
So anyway, that's what led us to this table this morning, you know, is just doing the crazy thing and saying the quiet part out loud, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I've never heard that before, saying the quiet part out loud. I didn't know that was my gifting.
It's got to be.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the spiritual gifts. Yeah.
Let's do it.
And this, I mean, obviously it all started with God, but, you know, a few years ago when Jeremy said like, hey, I think we're going to be doing ministry together.
Yeah.
It was just, that was the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
And it's led us to here. I mean, again, obviously God led us to here.
Right.
But this church is, this congregation, Lighthouse, is like close to 40 years established. It's an old property, and it's got a couple of parsonages. It's like, when you mentioned like the housing thing, we had a tenant living in this house when Jay got here. And I was praying like, Lord, if this is your will, the pieces will fall together.
Absolutely.
And I was down here in the church, and I was walking up the driveway to my house, and the tenant stepped out, and he was like, hey, I bought a house.
And you're like, is the Lord.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I want a house, man. I'm going to be out of here probably before October. And like my prayer was like, okay, Lord, if this all falls together right, like it needs to happen, I'm going to say probably by October.
That normally never works.
So he moves in, you know, and yeah. So he works for both congregations, and you know, hopefully we won't have to use that word both.
Yeah.
Many more months or
right.
years. I don't know what that looks like. It's
is
definitely
one of you are firing me. Is that
yeah, one of us are firing you.
Cool.
That's the Jay. End of this podcast. This is your termination.
This new guy in town. You got to go meet him.
He's your replacement. You're like, finally.
Oh, get some rest.
You want to be here.
All right. It is 6:46.
Okay.
I just realized that we're going to have to quack that out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. So,
sorry.
We didn't say anything that we shouldn't have said last week, but I listened to the last episode several times, obviously, while I was editing it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I said was that I had a misconception about what a missions trip looks like because of my baggage from that first missions trip that was just 3 days long. Over Christmas break, one of the workers there was like, hey, man, like we're only working here because your group booked the weekend and everybody else is on vacation. And now I'm doing stucco with a bunch of gringos. Like, so what I walked away with, what I said was I thought that the only purpose of that trip was that a bunch of affluent Americans could go see what it looks like for the rest of some like poverty stricken country to live like.
Yeah.
Now, on the heels of me saying that, you said, well, Steve, last week we were in Mexico eating gelato together. And as I listened to that, I thought, there isn't a more affluent thing that you can say.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we were eating gelato in Mexico.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And eating it. Like, literally Italian-made pizza.
So much pizza, too. Yeah.
So I thought we need to clean this up. Listen, we didn't go there to eat exquisite pizza and gelato with a bunch of affluent gringos.
It's right. Kalia's fault. She had a birthday.
Yeah. It really is. Right.
It is completely Kalia's fault.
Maybe she would have, you know, been born.
It was. It's yeah. entirely coincidental that that place exists and that we went there.
Right.
It wasn't as if, like, hey, let's
go. We went to be there. That's all we did.
Good correction. Thank
yeah.
you.
And then the second thing was, can you, without looking at your phone, can you spell the word gelato?
G-E-L-A-T-O.
Oh, very good. Okay. I had to think about it for a minute.
Yeah, I couldn't.
And I was thinking, like, the way this is going to work, there you go, see? I was like, is there a J or a G? Is there two T's? And why am I still thinking?
I couldn't have done it. I'm just saying.
I thought the only way that we can really clean this up is that if you sound the way that we did... That's going to be a soundbite, by the way. I'm about to pull that one out. Last week we were eating gelato together.
Around this time, exactly. Well, maybe not quite this late.
Gelato.
I was in bed by 8.
And I was like, man, it would be a miracle if among the three of us, one of us could spell gelato. So that's
we can all eat it, but can you spell it?
Oh, man.
So it'll be fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Well... Somebody say something to take us out.
I want to say. Thank you. Last week I ended with thanks for watching, and that was wrong. My wife let me know that that was stupid.
There's no watching.
You didn't watch us. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.
Love you guys. Have a great week.